Welcome to Reality Rabbit Hole, the podcast where we deep dive into the world of reality dating shows. I'm Jessica Denali.
And I'm Kyle Shea. Let's get into this week's episode. Started off at the top, hitting Jessica with a little quiz to test her 90-day knowledge, and she went 13 for 13, so we are going to do it again. I believe this quiz has 20, so a little more, and also this is based on season 6 of Happily Ever After, so you're going to have to dig in the vault a little bit to find this knowledge. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, here we go. Question number one. If I lose track of the questions amidst the quiz, forgive me, people. Brandon and Julia say they usually fight about what? Is it dinner plans, Brandon's mother, or what they're going to watch on TV?
Brandon's mother.
Okay.
When you said lose track of the questions, you meant just the numbers?
The numbers, correct. Because they're not numbered on the quiz, so yeah. We will have a final score at the end.
Real quick, where are we getting this quiz from? Can you tell them?
So this quiz is on the actual TLC website itself, and we will post links on the socials. If you haven't already, check us out on Instagram, Reality Rabbit Hole Pod, and over on X, formerly Twitter, we are Reality R Pod. So, next question. Kalani and Asuelu say they swear by this parenting tip. Is it daily outdoor playtime is great for the kids as well as the parents, mother-in-law knows best, or trust your gut, you will always know what's best for your babies?
I'm going to go with trust your gut.
Always trust your gut, people. I am not sure if that is the answer, but that's the one I would choose because it's true. Alrighty, question three. Even the biggest 90-day fiancé fans don't know this about Elizabeth and Andre. Is it Elizabeth learned to play the piano when she was 4 and Andre is double-jointed, Elizabeth is ambidextrous and Andre is a cat lover, or Elizabeth wants to own an ostrich farm and Andre is an amazing pool player?
So I want to say it's the piano just because she told us about her, how she's always wanted to be a singer. But because of that, I'm going to go with Elizabeth is ambidextrous and Andre is a cat lover.
Okay. That is the least spacey of all the answers, in my opinion. It seems like the most
least spacey,
logistically sound. I mean, an ostrich farm, that's kind of a very specific. And I mean, shout out to Andre for being an amazing pool player, if that's the one.
I mean, yeah.
Okay. Question four. Angela and Michael say their favorite meal to enjoy together is pizza, extra cheesy lasagna, or Chinese food?
I'm going to go with Chinese food because pizza would be too obvious since they discussed that in an episode.
Extra cheesy lasagna. How are you on the lasagna?
That's very specific. Mm.
Chinese food, always a solid go-to, though. Real quick, what's your favorite Chinese takeout? You're a vegetarian, so I think you're kind of limited on this. You like some stir-fried veggies, a little fried rice?
I used to like fried rice. I don't eat egg anymore, but I like egg rolls. I like all their soups.
Okay. I'm sure if you asked, they could probably make you some fried rice without an egg.
It's I do realize that I just said egg and then I said egg roll, but it's different having like egg on its own versus like an eggy thing.
I don't know if there is any egg in egg rolls. I think that is just in name only because you can have them with veggies or with pork in them. The world may never know. On to the next question. It's five. Jovi and Yara say their favorite travel destination is Bali, Las Vegas, or Budapest.
Okay. Again, I'm going to go with Bali. I know they met in Budapest, I think, so I'm going to go with Bali.
Okay. It is certainly the most exotic location.
True.
As far as I know. All right, moving on. Question six, I believe, possibly not. Tiffany and Ronald say this is the grossest thing about parenting. Ooh, this list could be huge. Is it the explosive poop diapers, sticky fingers touching everything in your home, or finding food in random places after mealtime? Ooh, boy, those are all just yucky.
Those are all gross, but the explosive poop diapers is the grossest. So if they don't say that's the grossest thing, I have questions. Let's go with explosive poop diapers.
Okay, locking it in. That, I mean, that certainly has the food one.
That's
after
also
meal
gross.
Time
also
is
gross.
Very gross. But poop, I would just have to say probably
hard
is going
to
take
poop.
The crown 9 out of 10 times. Okay, question 7. Natalie says she dreams of traveling to Hawaii, Thailand, or Los Angeles.
I'm going to go with Hawaii.
Okay. Great choice. Thailand, also very beautiful. If I'm ranking them, Los Angeles is definitely at the bottom of that list. Sorry, Los Angeles.
Well, she lives there now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then certainly that won't be the answer. All right, question 8, question mark. Kalani and Asuelu say they'll never fully agree on, is it finances, their kids' haircuts, or home decor?
I'm going to go with finances.
Always a contentious subject in marriages.
There was also a plot point that had to do with his mom thinking that they had to send them a bunch of money just because he was like the child that moved out of Samoa. And it was an issue because they're like, well, we have two kids. We can send you money, but we have to save it for, you know, there was a big, they had a big fight and it was one of the most famous ones. That's why I think that one.
So because they left, the parents were like, you should send us money. Presumably because they are not there to help them with things around the house or just in general.
No, I guess, well, the mom claimed it was tradition in Samoa. If a child leaves, they have to send money back home to their family. And they did send money, but the mom wanted them to send like a lot of money. And like they had two children in the States. So like they could send some, but they couldn't send as much as she wanted. And it was like a really big fight and it almost got physical. But it's hard to say if that was, of course, you know, scripted or not.
Okay, so we are thoroughly confident in that answer then.
We are.
All right, next question. I believe this is 9. What advice does Yara have for pregnant mamas? Is it don't get overwhelmed by parenting products before the baby comes, keep it simple, stay active throughout the pregnancy and don't eat for 2 all the time, have a little celebration each month as your bump grows?
It's going to be number 2. Stay active throughout the pregnancy and don't eat for two all the time.
That one is the most judgy of all the selections, I would think, but...
Well, you haven't met her yet.
Okay.
I there's no hate to Yara in that. It just, it makes sense. Also, anyway, yeah, it makes sense. And, like, she got it tough. Her husband wants to go to strip clubs instead of hang out with her. Like, she has it tough, kind of.
Okay, moving on. Question 10. Elizabeth and Andre say this is the most surprising thing about parenting. Is it how quickly their daughter picks up their habits? They sure do. Kids are like sponges, people. The very sleepless nights or the amount of patience they need for the simplest of tasks?
I'm going to go with sleepless nights.
That's the one that I would pick. I have many friends who have or have had small children, and that is like the blanket number one complaint of all of them is, oh, I just need some sleep. I wouldn't
be surprised by that though, but hey, who knows.
Question 11. Hopefully I'm not losing track here. Brandon and Julia say their perfect date night consists of, is it food and wine at a fancy outdoor restaurant, a few rounds of bowling and a trip to the beer garden, or a night in with good food and a movie? I could tell you just hated the pronunciation of the beer garden there.
For context, for some reason it says B-I-E-R-G-A-R-T-E-N. So Kyle just really wanted to enunciate that. I'm going to say a night in with good food and a movie.
Okay. Solid go-to. Anybody who doesn't like a night in with good food and a movie, you haven't lived. It's the simple things in life you need to treasure. Okay, question 12. Angel and Michael say they argue most often about scheduling quality time, bills, or trust issues.
Trust issues.
Oh, we're singing the answers now. That's a confident answer if we're singing the answer. Okay, trust issues with Angela and Michael. Question, did I just say 13 or are we on 14 here?
Trust issues with Angela and Michael. I would not watch that spinoff. That is not a spinoff I want to watch.
I would be surprised if they made it.
I actually don't know what number that we're on, but it's not important.
I'm going to take a stab and say 14.
All right.
for you listening, if I'm just confusing you, my apologies, but we will post the link to the quiz and you can check it out yourselves. Okay, question 14, question mark. Tiffany and Ronald say they'll never do this one thing together. Is it sing karaoke, skydive, or go sailing?
Skydive.
Yeah, that would be a no for me. I wouldn't say that I really have a fear of heights, but the thought of falling and that sensation, that drop is just like, ooh, oh boy. Okay, oh, we are at the end. I guess I was wrong. I guess this only had 14 questions, maybe?
All right, let's go.
All right, we're going to see how good you did. Go. 3, 2, 1, go.
Trust issues.
See your results. Okay, it says you are a 90-day expert.
We knew that. Let's
see how many you answered correctly. We are scrolling.
Okay, wait. Okay, here are the correct answers.
Oh, my goodness. It didn't tell us right or wrong.
No, but I'm going to know.
Go through.
I'm going to read it.
The questions.
Here are the correct answers. Brandon and Julia say they usually fight about Brandon's mother. Will you keep track for me over there, Kyle? All right. Kalani and Aswelu say they swear by this parenting tip. Trust your gut. You will always know what's best for your babies. So far, 2 for 2. Even the biggest 90-day fiancé fans don't know that Elizabeth is ambidextrous and Andre is a cat lover. Did I get that one right?
Yes.
Okay.
Because that was the most logical of the choices. No ostrich farms in here.
No ostrich farm. Angela and Michael say their favorite meal together. Favorite meal to enjoy together is Chinese food. 4 for 4.
You're batting 1,000.
Jovi and Yara say their favorite travel destination is Bali.
Okay.
Tiffany and Ronald say explosive diarrhea.
Explosive poop diapers. Explosive so that was the grossest option was the answer.
He scrolled, so I lost it.
Sorry about that.
Okay, where are we? All right, so 6 for 6. Natalie says she dreams of traveling to Hawaii. 7 for 7. Kalani and Osweiler don't agree on finances. Yara advises pregnant moms to stay active throughout their pregnancy and don't eat for 2 all the time. Elizabeth and Andre are surprised by sleepless nights. Brandon and Julia say their perfect date night consists of a night in with good food and a movie. Angela and Michael say they argue most often about trust issues. And Tiffany and Ronald said they'll never skydive together.
Hey,
my friend, is that 13 for 13?
13 for 13 again. Look at you go.
I am undefeated. If anybody who is listening thinks that they have a 90-day fiancé trivia question they can stump me on, you should comment on our Instagram with that because I would like to be stumped. And I promise that we don't cheat. And so I will not look up the answers or just like DM me, whatever. I would like to be stumped. Stump me.
Or again, link us to more quizzes. We'll continue doing this because I think this is a fun little test because you have not tripped up yet. I mean, so far you are perfect.
Undefeated.
So I am thoroughly impressed.
If anybody has a question for me to think that's going to stump me, go to Reality Rabbit Hole Pod on Instagram or Reality R Pod on X and let's see if you can trip me up.
All right, Jessica, champion of the 90-day trivia. Just wanted to check back in with something that we discussed in the last episode regarding AI. I had mentioned that there is a social media influencer who, with a team of, I suppose you would call them AI engineers, created a website using hours and hours and hours of voice recordings of her to create a virtual girlfriend. It is called Karen AI, and it has a two-way audio function where it spontaneously generates a response to what you are saying to her. And I believe, I'm looking right now, her fans are 98% male. Shocker there. It is being billed as a virtual girlfriend, and you can chat with her for $1 a minute. Now, it is important to add in there, there's nothing lewd about this. This is strictly an innocent thing. It is just chatting. They have gone, from what I can tell in the article, they have gone to great lengths to make sure that this is something that is relatively innocent and is not, there's nothing weird going on there. But that is kind of interesting because they
not weird, but the point is that no one's buying pictures or anything. It's chatting.
Correct. To an AI that they are well aware.
Yeah, and they're aware it's an AI.
Yeah. And it is saying that in the first week of launch, the influencer made $72,000 on this. And then I think there was another metric saying that she is expected to earn $5 million a month. So basically the thing you need to know, people, is the work is done. This AI bot has been created. they spent hours and hours and hours voice recording her to make this thing have as much words at its disposal as it could. And whoo, can you imagine $5 million a month, Jessica? What would you do with $5 million a month?
Many things.
Travel the world, take over the world, possibly.
No. That's really interesting. And then, of course, we were looking this up because The Circle is going to be introducing a character who is actually an AI and catfishing as a person, which is why we were talking about this, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't like that.
I don't love it. And we did talk about how it's pretty similar to Lana and Too Hot to Handle, but at least Lana is like a robot. And this is straight up just an AI. So I don't love it. All right. So,
I mean, for the sake of the show, it's understandable because it's part of a greater game, but AI catfishing people in society, that's kind of like, that's a little scary to me.
Dude, right? That's what I think. I don't love it. I don't remember if we mentioned this already, but there is another AI that has an OnlyFans that is like pretty successful. Her name is Emily Pellegrini. I just think that's wild. The robots are taking over. I mean, I will barely go to a restaurant that has the robot come and bring you water. I'm like, have you been to one of those?
I have seen what you're talking about. I just don't see how it makes that experience any better.
It doesn't really, because the robot walks you to your chair, and then I think it asks if you want drinks or whatever, and it brings you drinks. I mean, it depends on the restaurant, but there is still a person that comes to the table. So I'm just like, why?
It would be funny if there was an upgraded security model, and if you were being a little raucous in the restaurant, maybe it has a little taser and it'll give you a little zzzt.
Okay, that's something else.
Security bot, engage.
That is something else, my friend. I don't know what is.
I don't know what that is.
Well, anyway, before we dive into this, I just want to say that if you haven't watched our very hilarious skit that we made with our friend Derek from Sweet Derek Productions yet, it is up on our Instagram, Reality Rabbit Hole Pod, and it basically is just mimicking all the introductions from the 90 Day Fiancé franchise, and we did a pretty dang good job, if I say so myself. So
yeah. Check that out, rabbits.
I suggest going to look at that. All right, now let's dive into the most recent episode, which is Happily Ever After, episode 5. So, okay, one, I honestly forgot about this whole, Jasmine's kind of in an impossible situation. Like, her kids are unable to come over because Gino filed the paperwork incorrectly. And, like, whose fault is that is, you know, up to debate. But then also her mother is sick. Like, I forgot that her mom is sick and she's like trapped in the US without her kids. Like, I forgot about all that. And also, whenever she's like upset, he's like always smiling. What's up with that?
It is very creepy. I'm like, Gino, you're a sadist. Why are you smiling at your poor wife shedding some tears?
That's what I'm saying.
But and I believe we mentioned this in the previous episode, a Reddit user pointed out that they were someone who had come over on the K-1 visa, and they did a little more explaining as to what the procedure is of including the children on the paperwork. And this user made it seem like it was not that big of a deal, and it was essentially kind of an oversight by Gino for not including them in the initial application.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it looks like. It's really hard to say how real or scripted that is, but regardless of like if that's a legitimate thing, you know, the not being able to bring her kids over, it regardless of if that was legit or what have you, it's still a huge bummer, right? Like, it's still a really bad situation, and her mom is sick, which I completely forgot about. So the girl's in just like a bad situation, and on top of that, a lot of other bloggers about 90 Day Fiancé that I've seen, like on X and stuff, they want to say that, oh, she's fake crying and yada yada. I don't know about that, but even if she is, like, she's upset, you know? And for him to be sitting there smirking as his wife is crying, it's just like a bad look. Like, what are you doing?
I think she's a very emotional person because the tears are real, unless she is secretly turning away from camera and dumping some clear eyes in to make it appear like it appears like she is actually crying. So you people are monsters. Leave her alone.
I agree. Oh my gosh. Speaking of what you just said, though, throwback. This is for anyone who's watched Love is Blind. I don't remember what season this is, but Kyle, for you/people who have not seen it, there is a guy who he's sad because someone else picks the girl he was talking to, picks someone else and not him. And he's in the confessional and he like starts talking and then he goes, hang on a second. And like dips his head back and pulls out these eye drops and like literally pours them into his eyes on camera and then looks at the camera and like gets really sad and the eye drops are falling. And people were like, do you not know they filmed that?
They kept it in too. They kept didn't it even in. Edit it out. They kept I it love in. That. They that kept is so it in. Funny.
And oh then he goodness. Tried to be like, no, no, my eyes were just really dry. And they're like, why did you pick that moment? I think his name was Andrew, but I haven't heard of him since. Anyway,
my eyes were dry and then I started crying.
Right. I was just like, but that show is always messy. They leave all those things in. Okay, so moving on, what are your thoughts on Patrick and Thais, my friend?
They seem like a nice little couple. He really checks the box for you because, as you mentioned before we started recording, you really admire the fact that he can speak Portuguese well and enunciate. And you also mentioned that Thais's English has gotten much, much better since she first came
so
to the
good.
States.
So good. It's like, I don't think she spoke any when we first met them. And now her English is really, really good. But on top of that, yeah, so Patrick's dad is from Brazil. And so I don't remember if he started learning Brazilian. I know better than that. I don't remember if he started learning Portuguese because of his dad or because of Thais. But in either case, his Portuguese is amazing. Now, of course, on the show, we're introduced to his brother, John. And I didn't know this until I was doing my research, but he and John are actually half brothers. So John.
Ah, that explains the Boston accent.
Right, right. I was like, how come Patrick doesn't have this accent? And like, can John speak Portuguese? So they have different fathers. So they're half brothers. Now, John going to Brazil 100% seems to me like the producers were like, you guys are going to be boring. It'll be more interesting if John goes.
Absolutely. That's definitely a producer plug because I am just being introduced to these people now since I'm new to the 90-day scene, and the hatred that Thais has for him is palpable. She does not try to hide it at all. She does not like him.
Well, I honestly think that's a little bit messed up because it's like, you guys are family now, you know? And the other thing is, Elise, their child, is like 6 months old at the time of like when they were filming. However, at least he's going to grow up with his mom slash his dad sometimes too, always bagging on his Uncle John. Like, that's going to make it hard for Uncle John. I said her Uncle John. I mean, and John seems like he means well, you know? So it's like, unless he does something really horrible, it seems like that's going to make it hard for his niece to have a good relationship with him if his parents are always like, John this, John that. Also, Kyle, you don't know this, but people who watch The Single Life, like, he literally proposes to Megan on the tell-all. He says, like, look at you guys, like, because everybody was saying, oh, you can't commit. He's like, okay, bam, look, now we're engaged. And then Thais and Patrick were still like, I don't know if he can do it. I'm like, he just proposed to her in front of you.
Yeah, that's a pretty negative on their part. And I did see that as well, that they kind of team up on him.
Yeah,
but also John, right? God, I'm terrible with names. I should be able to nail John, right? John is kind of a doofus, and I mean that in the gentlest way, not in a disrespectful way, but he does act like kind of a doofus, so I think sometimes he perhaps is walking into the fury from his brother and his brother's lovely wife.
I don't know. He seems nice. I mean, the problems that they have been having seemed that they were just because he didn't think that he was, like, responsible. And like Thais was annoyed when they were living together and he was drinking beer in the morning. But my thing is that none of that was like really affecting them. So let the man live his life, you know? But I'm looking forward to seeing what it's like when they are all in Brazil together. That should be fun. Real quick, did you notice how many leg injuries were mentioned in this episode?
Yes, it was a theme. They should have had a title for the episode that was leg themed.
Right? I expected it to be like sponsored by like a podiatrist or something.
Dr. Scholl.
Someone at the end. And that's why you should get your weekly checkup or whatever. Not weekly, but there were so many. Like Kobe had his ACL and then Patrick had the knee injury. There was a heavy knee theme.
Yeah. Well, Patrick was recovering from a knee surgery.
Right.
Kobe had had knee surgery previously,
right.
wore a brace to do some sports activities, which we're going to get into in a bit. But yeah. And then who else?
No,
knee,
that was
knee,
it.
Knee. I could have swore there was one more. Okay.
Let's get into it now. The Kobe injury that you...
Yep.
Yeah. So Kobe's knee injury, Emily was worried about him playing handball, which is a Cameroonian sport, I guess, because of his knee injury. And then she was talking to him during the game. Well, he did end up hurting his knee. He did. So then she went to go talk to him, and he was saying, oh, she just wants to do things how she wants them. And I was like, no, like, you know, they have two kids. She's worried about his knee. But I guess that the time to tell him her concerns was not right at the game. Like, she could have waited until they got home.
Yeah. So first of all, I learned something new watching about this, because when I heard them say handball, I was thinking of, I think it's more of an East Coast sport, but you know what I'm talking about? Handball, where they have a court that's like a racquetball court and they slap the ball with their hands off the wall. That is what I was thinking. This handball that they were showing seems like a combination of soccer and ultimate frisbee or football.
I suppose. I also didn't know about
it. Essentially soccer with a small ball, but they ran and carried it, passed it to one another, and then threw it in the net versus kicking it in. But that was kind of cool. I had no awareness of that. And to your point, and I know you're not going to love this, but
great.
That was not the setting for her to challenge him on that in front of his friends. So that seems to be kind of a theme that's developing with the Kobe and Emily storyline now, is that his friends believe she is being overbearing and is not behaving in a way that they are accustomed to with Cameroonian women, who are more submissive. And they have started calling Emily bossy, which I know for a fact she is not going to love that when she hears one of them say it. Am I right?
Yeah, no, she's not. I don't know. I mean, I think that they just think people in Cameroon expect women to be soft-spoken. I understand that that's the culture. I don't know. I do think that probably wasn't the time to speak to him about his knee.
I can see both sides of it. From my point of view, if someone was asking for me advice on it, I would just say, you're visiting his country, and as I've said before on this podcast, my mindset is, if you're visiting another country, your goal as a tourist should be to be as respectful as possible and kind of just temporarily amend your behavior so you can fit in with their culture. So I understand that she's upset. She cares about her husband. She doesn't want him to be injured. But also, you've already kind of been told a couple times that this isn't the way that women behave, so maybe just dial it down a touch.
True. Yeah, no, that all makes sense. I don't know. I mean, at the very least, you could have talked to him about that later after the game. Now, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Kobe had a whole girlfriend.
Allegedly.
I hope they tell us about that. Yeah, well, I mean, the friends sort of seem like, you know, they're not a huge fan of Emily. I don't think they're making things up because of that, but it does seem like they wouldn't mind throwing some...
It's some creative editing, I think. Or perhaps that's another producer feed. Because isn't it convenient that they kind of slammed her? Kobe tried to tell her about it. She's unhappy. Now she's doing the things that they don't like. And then they're like, we're going to drop another bomb
that's
on you
what
and
I'm
tell
saying.
You about this supposed girlfriend.
Exactly. So basically... the friends tell Emily that when Kobe went to China, there was a woman in Cameroon who thought they were dating. And then when Kobe was in China, he met Emily, told her he was single, and then, you know, she got pregnant, and then they had a son. So it probably is a producer thing, but, like, I hope we learn more about that because, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they made it seem like those things were happening concurrently. Like, essentially, he was traveling, had this girlfriend who was back in Cameroon who thought they were still in a relationship.
Right.
Then he hooks up with Emily. They have kids, married, boom, 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 boom. All that stuff happened kind of quick. But clearly, he is now fully invested in his family.
And they're, you know, very happy. They have, well, at this time of recording, they have three children. And this time of the filming, they had two. So they had a baby boy, a Tem, born like a few weeks or a month ago. I'm wondering, was this filmed a while ago or was she pregnant? Because she doesn't look pregnant here. But that's, you know.
Oh, boy.
Sometimes people
You're
don't look pregnant.
You're asking me to step in hot water.
No, I'm not. But you know, everyone carries their pregnancy differently. I didn't think that she was pregnant, but it's hard to say. This also could have been filmed a while ago. We did look up the timeline of filming and saw that Rob and Sophie were filmed in 2021, correct? I don't remember anymore.
Something like that.
But it's been a while because they had masks in the airport.
Correct.
Or they had masks in the airport on season 10, maybe not
we're
this one.
Internet sleuthing.
Oh, we are. Also, not to sound like a broken record, but that storyline of, oh, you went to another country and someone thought they were dating you, that's been done before. However, like, I don't know if the following is true or not, but we've been led to believe it's true. Ariella went to go to Ethiopia on like an Eat, Pray, Love kind of journey, but the whole time she was still married to someone named Leandro. And then she had to be like, oh, hi, so like, I'm pregnant with my new Ethiopian man's baby.
Oh,
yeah. And so that's a thing that happened again. I don't know. So like she was fully married to someone and she was like, I wanted to see more of the world. So then
this
she went.
This is not a similar situation.
And she got pregnant. Wow. I mean, it is a little similar, though. If he really had someone, which I don't believe that it is, I'm saying that it's the same premise. You're ish. Well, it's not the same. I see. Yeah, but it's similar ish. However, that thing with Ariella, of course, I don't know if that's real or if that was a producer written storyline, but that is something that we watched
from the very beginning of the season. We were saying Kobe and Emily, such a nice couple,
right?
Kind of, not in a disrespectful way, boring as far as 90 Day goes because there isn't much drama or tension there. And now they are giving us a big dose of it.
Exactly. I do think it's scripted. Speaking of cultural differences, let's talk about Nicole and Mahmoud. So Mahmoud is supposed to meet her friends and she's like, oh, he's not coming because he wants to get a divorce because I didn't go out with my back covered. I was like, cultural difference aside, like this is emotionally abusive. But then it also, I thought, was disrespectful because then they go, oh, he's not going to come out. We're just going to go to him. And then knowing that he doesn't know she has alcohol, Nicole like busts out the alcohol in her house, like that was disrespectful as well.
Yeah, she is really not doing her best to mend the fences. It seems like she is still deeply, because at this point in the episode, he's been there not even a two full days, I don't think.
True.
And she got upset when they went to the pier and he looked at the gal in the hijab. And it just seems like everything she's doing is to take a jab at him. She could have just changed the dress. I'm not Muslim, so that is not a part of my customs. But you're married to a Muslim man. And if he told you to cover up and you said no, then how could you think that that was going to end well? Do you know what I'm saying?
But this just, I mean, she did convert to Islam, but then it's like she shouldn't have converted. At the end of the day, these two are not a good pair, like, full stop.
Yeah, and with the whole apartment, her bringing the friends home situation, just
that
bad idea. You knew it was a bad idea, girl. You did that intentionally.
I can also see, because you didn't see how he was treating her in Egypt, like, it was like she could do nothing right, you know? And so I understand, not that this is the right way to do things, because it's not. But if she wants to kind of be like, well, now we're in my country, I'm going to, which
yes.
I don't know if that's what she's doing, but it's like I understand
kinda
how
seems like
one
it.
Could feel that way. Of course, none of this is right, and they just shouldn't be together, man. Like, you know.
Didn't you say you had found something online? Because we're still kind of tracking the him smacking her thing and that being in the news. Wasn't there something that came out that said that they were spotted together again?
Oh, yeah. Shopping in L.A. Fully together.
Oh, boy.
I know, which made me very upset.
Oh, boy.
Okay, yeah, so Rob and Sophie, let's talk about their meeting. What do you have to say about that?
Very strange location. Rob is clearly into creepy things. He's got the baby tarantulas at home, and now he wants to meet at a random freeway overpass or bridge over some kind of cavern so he could look at bats.
I know. I mean, having the tarantulas as pets should have been our first clue, but I didn't really know he was like into weird stuff like that. I was like, okay.
He was more excited to see the bats than he was to see his estranged wife. Right. It was weird.
Okay. That's like a very good point. That's such a good point. Yeah, I feel like they just didn't really go into, like, I just didn't really know he was into stuff like that. But hey, you know, everyone's into their own thing. Fun fact, shortly after this episode came out, apparently was Bat Appreciation Day. April 17th was Bat Appreciation Day.
What a coincidence. Are we saying that's a producer plug? That they were like, hey, it's a Bat Appreciation Day.
I'm not. I just happen to know it was Bat Appreciation Day.
What a coincidence.
Also, did you know that my favorite Spanish word is the one that means bat?
Hit me with it right now.
Murciélago.
Like the Lamborghini. Murciélago.
Murciélago. Bat.
Murciélago.
If that's how you would like to pronounce it. But
that's how I'm going to pronounce it. I can't put all the flavor on it that you can. Like, there will be no correct pronunciation.
But that's not how it's pronounced.
That's fine. That's how I'm going to say it.
I didn't know.
That is cool. That's a great word.
I didn't know there was a Lamborghini named that.
Murciélago?
Sure.
One more time?
Murciélago.
There it is.
Again, I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation, but more so than what you were saying.
But anyways, the way that their whole situation resolved this episode is he asked her to come back that night and move back in. Mm-hmm. And presumably that is what she is going to do. She agreed. They are super strange and awkward around one another because this whole season we haven't even seen them like hold hands or give each other a little smooch or anything.
Yeah, I know. But I guess that's what they want to do. So they're going to make it work. Also, side note, I didn't know that Rob was cheated on by his ex with her guy best friend, which kind of explains the hesitation regarding the Callum thing. Like, not completely, but just like I didn't know that was part of his past. So that was an interesting insight.
Yeah, and you can't, but my thing is, you can't paint everyone with the same brush.
And
I understand that when you experience certain things in your life, it makes you apprehensive or it makes you more prone to see signs or be like, ooh, this seems like that other thing that really did not end well. But at the same time, it's like,
yeah,
give her a chance or just give up.
No, yeah. I mean, not everything can be that way, of course. But, or like, not everything will be that way because it was that way before, you know, and I'm not excusing Rob.
It makes
a difference.
It makes the situation make more sense. Yeah. It gave you a little insight. We're not saying that he's in the right, but also it's understandable. As someone who has dealt with some experiences that were not great like that, I can understand where he would feel a certain way because of that.
Right.
So.
And again, we don't know how legitimate Callum even is, because I know that TLC does like to bring people in and be like, this is an ex, and then like they're not necessarily. Well, I mean, they did explain that they dated when they were kids, but like, is that even true? We don't even know.
I would love to be a fly on the wall at a casting call. Probably not even in the UK. Callum could be a plant. He could straight up be American who is rocking a British accent. But I want to be in the room where they are casting that. And they're like, so you're going to be somebody that we throw into this reality TV situation. And your job is to stir the pot. Get in there and stir our little spoon.
I mean, I think that happens a lot. Not just with TLC, but I feel like in reality TV, that probably happens a lot.
100%.
I don't know. Anyway, all right, so Ashley and Manuel, I couldn't believe the part when Manuel was like, just leave me here and go back to Rochester. I was like, we know that's how you think, but like, you're just saying it out right now.
Yeah, he puts that right on Front Street that he just wants to be alone and have, he is presenting it as having some space for her because they were in an Ecuadorian neighborhood, predominantly neighborhood. And I guess they had a little festival going on, and he wanted to stay with it. What was his cousin's name again?
His cousin.
Cousin? That was his cousin, wasn't it?
I thought it was just like his friend, Jonathan.
Or friend, possibly.
Jonathan.
To hang out with his friend. We're going to go with friend.
We're going to go with friend.
Jonathan dropped an absolute bomb, though.
Yes. Can we talk about it? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, so first, wait, remind me how this, I remember the bomb, but remind me how it was set up.
Ashley was upset because Manuel is on the phone all the time. Manuel replied to that and said, I don't have anybody here. I don't have any friends. There's nobody I know. So I'm just talking to my friends.
Right.
Then Jonathan says, well, a lot of the times when I call him, he doesn't even pick up, or he replies to text super late. So a light bulb goes on in Ashley's head and she goes, well, who are you talking to then if you're not talking to him?
Right. And then he was like, are you talking? Didn't she say, are you talking to your baby mama?
She didn't ask Manuel. She went straight to Jonathan and said, have they been in contact or have you been talking to his baby mama? And the subtitles actually said baby mama too, which was funny.
It is funny. And then Jonathan said no, but then to the cameras, this is the bombshell we were referring to. He was like, well, shortly after they got married, his baby mama was hitting me up to be like, oh, what's going on in his life? Yada, yada. Now, I don't think that is a red flag in itself necessarily. That doesn't mean that like she is talking to Manuel, but it definitely is information that for whatever reason he did not want Ashley to know, you know?
Yeah. That is kind of being a solid friend. And also, in my mind, I think he's probably not being, he's not like working against her or anything. He's just like, this isn't something she needs to know because it's not going anywhere. The baby mama isn't necessarily trying to get Manuel back or get him to come.
Right.
Come
that's true. With her. Like, yeah. Like if all it is, which is like, oh, what's going on with Manuel? And then he said that. I don't know. If I were her, I would rather know. But I'm also not the kind of person that would just hit up baby mama and be like, what's this? Like, I would just keep my eye on the situation. And I don't know what kind of person Ashley is. So it could, you know.
I mean, she is a witch and she is she is bound and determined to get to the bottom of anything and everything that Manuel is hiding from her. So
honestly,
I would
though,
not count
her out.
I understand,
like, because he's hiding many things. Also, I just want to say poor Jonathan, because like when they were having the conversation, when Manuel was like, just leave me here and go to Rochester, Jonathan was like looking at the table. And then Jonathan also is no stranger to being third wheeled by these two. Or no, is that the expression? Being a third wheel, whatever.
Yep.
Because in 90 Day Fiancé season 10, they were famously having a fight in a coffee shop, and Ashley just says to Manuel, okay, let's go. And they go in the bathroom and they're mic'd up and you can hear them getting busy. And Jonathan's just sitting there like, this is awkward. So like, he's been through a lot with these guys. So he must really like Manuel as a friend because they keep hanging out, you know?
I mean, it must be entertaining. And also we need to get some screenshots from those moments and make memes where he's just looking down and it says awkward.
Yeah. Well, when they were, you know,
smooshing
in the bathroom, whatever, they asked him, they had the camera in his face and he was like, this is uncomfortable in Spanish. But yeah.
Good times.
Good. Sorta. Not for Jonathan.
So yeah, I think we kind of touched on everybody. We'll see how the Patrick and Thais storyline evolves in the next episode. I believe they're going to Brazil in the next episode. And I believe there is another couple that they will be introducing, Lauren and Alexi.
Yes.
So we will get to see what they're all about. Apparently, you were telling me they are certified 90-day OGs.
If I'm not mistaken, they're from 90 Day Fiancé, like the flagship series season 3. Like, they are OG. And now they have three babies. And they've been on this spinoff called Pillow Talk, which is basically 90 Day Fiancé alumni watching the current season and like talking about it.
Yeah, so I remember you mentioning that.
Yeah, they've been favorites on Pillow Talk for a while, so they've kind of stayed in the realm, so to speak. But we haven't seen, oh yeah, and then there was like a little spinoff they had, I think it was called After the 90 Days, where it kind of followed their journey, but we haven't seen them like, you know, as cast members in a regular spinoff in a while. So I was interested when I saw them in the preview, and it will be cool to see what they're up to.
So we will check in with them next week. Anyways, don't forget, head on over to the socials, check out the skit, send us some quizzes if you want to test Jessica's 90-day knowledge further. So far, she is the undisputed champion.
Yes, I am.
And yeah, just let us know how you're liking the podcast. If you're on Spotify, hit us with a rating and a review. Let us know what you think. Apple or Spotify. Hit us with
either one. See you guys next time.
Yeah. See you guys later.
Thank you for listening to Reality Rabbit Hole. Please follow us on our socials. See you next week.